Here we go. AJ in the house.
What's up?
What was that face you made before we started?
I didn't know what I was supposed to do.
You did.
Yeah, because nobody would have, like, they say action, and you just kind of just stay where you're at and just. Well, I didn't know. I just started pausing.
I've gotten into this habit where I start the show like we do the radio show. I'm like, hurrah, hurrah. And I'm like, when we got people in studio, just turn the cameras on. Let's go with it.
Yeah.
Because it makes it a little less awkward. So two things before we started. One, we showed you the video of John Bird wrecking in the driveway from the last podcast.
Yes.
I played that audio on the show. We're not going to show the video because we're in a secret underground bunker and we don't need anybody to know where it's at. But it was just as brutal as we described, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah. You know what? In the future, Bird, you can't drive my car. I'm just going to let you know that right now.
You might not even want to let him drive in your driveway.
Well, yeah, you're not coming to my house either, yeah.
So there was that, and then we showed you a clip from our last podcast, which was the Fish Tank podcast we did. You didn't really know about Fish Tank, but I gave you a little bit of an explainer, and our audience has heard it a million times, so I didn't want to go through it again. But that was one of the most exhilarating things I think I've ever done in my life, was doing that text-to-speech. It was so exciting.
I had no idea about that show. You just told me it's done, right?
Yeah,
like,
it
the show's over.
Last night.
So I wanted to actually watch it.
Yeah.
Just so I can buy some tokens and annoy the heck out of somebody.
I'm going to send you some highlight clips now that it's over, some of the best part. Because it's if you're watching it in real time over the 6 weeks, there's a lot of slow parts. Because you're watching people 24-7, and they're not always doing something. But when you look back after 6 weeks, the people that have come and gone and been eliminated and so on, it's like, I feel like a piece of me had been taken away last night once it was over.
Yeah.
Which, for those that are curious... last night ended in a legit, like, boxing match between the two final contestants, which was TJ and Shinji. Shinji was the guy that we were talking to on the text-to-speech. Shinji ended up just running out of gas and got the crap beat out of him. So TJ won the $5,000, blah, blah, blah.
I mean, they did that for $5,000.
Yeah, $5,000.
50, I thought. Or the boxing.
I said five. I meant 50. 50 grand. Yeah,
okay.
50
okay.
grand. And as Tony always points out, that could be before taxes, which makes it 30 grand.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not quite as appealing as 50 grand.
Unless they consider it lottery winnings, then it's a 55% tax. Then it would be 27,500, I think.
Yeah.
Woo.
Well, in the way the guy that created it, he's like a famous YouTuber troll guy named Sam Hyde.
Mm-hmm.
And the way he is, he may give him like 50 grand in, pennies or something like that. Or 50 grand worth of peanuts, That's the type of guy he is. I don't know how all that works out. But you were asking how I found it. And it started off, I got to find this clip one day so we can play it. I'm flipping through TikTok, and I come across a short video, and it looks like CCTV footage, like security footage from a mental institution.
Yeah.
So it's a camera in the corner of a room. The room is trashed. There's two females, a young females, and then a very large, probably 450-pound shirtless guy with his face painted like he's in ICP. And he is just screaming in these girls' faces. And I thought, what is this? I need to find out. So I started doing some research, and I found out there was this thing called Fish Tank, which I then started watching, but it was like 4 days until the finale.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got very little Fish Tank in season one because I found it at the end. But once season two started... I started on day one, and Trish will tell you, she's like, I spend in my home studio, I've spent most of my time in there at home,
Well, I mean, sometimes the stuff that you see on social media or some, like YouTube, is more entertaining than what you see on TV anyway, so I'm going to have to check that out.
Well, this is as reality TV show as you can get, because, most reality shows are like, super scripted.
Yeah.
And this stuff is where maybe some of the things the producers or production's doing is scripted. The people that are involved in it have, They are being themselves, mm-hmm. and it's great. Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
It's kind of like so the good. Real world on crack or something, you know, yeah. steroids maybe?
It's like the real world on crack with a touch of autism and a lot of Gen Z. I think that's the best way to describe it. So, and also, another housekeeping note, we're having to watch the AFC Championship game in real time as I booked this thing for my team's, you know, championship game, which was my fault. But
well, I mean, that was that. Well, it's not really your fault. It was my fault because you kept asking me when I can actually be out here and, you know, do this podcast. And I was like, well, technically only Sundays is my, well, my best day. But I forgot that the championship game is actually on and it's now tied. So it's just, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be fine. The Chiefs will win. I'm repping my shirt. It'll be good. But trying to get you on here has been quite the battle.
It really has. It really has. I've just been really, really busy.
You're a busy man.
I am. But I do have a gift I wanted to bring you guys.
Oh, a gift?
Yeah.
It's been a long time since a guest has brought a gift. I feel like we've been missing out on that lately.
So, all right, I gotta whip this out real quick, okay?
I'm nervous.
All right, let me just
I'm nervous.
Let me just
I don't even want to look.
Let me just go ahead and pull this out.
Oh my God, what is this?
Uh-oh. Read that.
Big black dick.
Whoa. You ever had that?
Excuse
before,
me, as big, I whip this out.
Big black dick, premium Caribbean rum, and it's even. The dark version. The dark big black dick. Wow.
I wasn't sure if you wanted to taste my...
I just had a South Park Chef Salty Ball moment.
Yes.
I don't know, something.
Can I open it and smell your big black dick?
I got to get a swig of that. When
I heard people love big black dick. You know what I'm saying?
You know, I never knew what it smelled like. And I'm going to be honest. I mean, it smells like it's
smells, big and black.
It smells like a grape flavor. I swear to God, smell it.
Oh, well, I actually had this. So I bought this on a cruise.
That lid. I didn't close it all the
way.
Yeah,
I don't want my big black dick spilling.
You don't want to spill it.
All right, so I bought this bottle in the Cayman Islands.
Okay.
And supposedly, this was like the last bottle ever made. Like, they shut down the whole distillery.
That was the last big black dick on the island.
I bought the last big black dick in the entire island.
Wow.
And I was walking like I actually did, too. Yeah. I was walking bow-legged with this bad boy. You know,
do you have to smuggle it back to the States?
I mean, they already do. You know, I mean, they looked at me and was like, oh, yeah, this is... Yeah, like, this is his big black dick right
like,
here.
Like, sir, what is that in your pants? What do you think it is? It's a big black dick.
Everybody's going to be like, what are y'all talking about? Talk about my big black dick.
Yeah, wait till we chop this podcast up and just have this part of it.
But, yeah, so I brought it here so, you know, we can have a shot of my. And I want to know how many times I can actually say this on the podcast.
Oh, we're at 10 right now. I'm counting.
So it's so funny because as I was driving up here, right, I was like, man, I got to figure something out. Because last time, Will had brought something. Leland had brought something. I was like, you know what? What can I bring? I got a cabinet full of, like, bourbons and stuff from all the places that I've traveled. And this has been sitting there in my liquor cabinet for a very long time. I was like, I got to find a time to pull this out. You know?
So I was like, pulled it out, all right.
This would be the great time to go ahead and pull out my big black dick. You know what I'm saying? Just got to show how big it is. You know what I'm saying? So... Yeah, so anybody
that's
wanna?
The last thing I thought we'd be sharing this summer.
Yes,
after there, you know?
I did not expect that for this podcast. You know, with as long as it took us to get this put together, if I would have known this was going, I probably would have waited a couple more weeks.
Watch the safety protocols.
Yes.
So, Tony, whenever you get a second, I don't know if we need to get some plastic cups in here just to have them on standby, mm-hmm. like some little shot glasses. But yeah, whenever you can get us something, that'd be. That'd be fine. So where was I at before we started talking about your big black dick? I was going somewhere with this conversation. How do you have all that alcohol, all those different bourbons at your house and not drink them? Like, I could not collect them. I would have a collection of bottles.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to not drink them or not try them at least.
Well, shout out to Way to Wellness on that one, because it's definitely, as you know, I think the last time I did a podcast, I'm over here sweating because my big black dick is making me sweat.
It's making us all sweat,
OJ.
It's making
me sweat, yeah. So Way to Wellness, you know, I've been on that for a very long time. I've really been serious about it for the last couple of years. Last year I lost over 50 pounds, and I'm still trying to reach my goals now. And so the taste of alcohol has diminished a lot. Now, don't get me wrong. I'll have a swig or two, you know, of some alcohol, but that's how. And so I just haven't had the opportunity to open this up. And I got some tequila from like actual Mexico, like the actual real tequila.
Oh, that stuff's good.
I mean, I got some true Caribbean, like this Caribbean rum, like it's completely different. Got some real nice bourbon as well too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we just give Tony props for zooming all the way to the other side of the building?
Yes.
And getting back before AJ even finished his thought with the cups and now has distributed them for everybody.
Yes.
That's pretty good.
So you want to, here, I'll pour some.
Speaking of alcohol and diets and all that kind of stuff. So. Ooh. With me, I was a big bourbon guy. I was constantly drinking whiskey, like probably on a nightly basis. Not a lot, but that's just what I enjoyed doing. And once I decided to kick it into high gear, after I started implementing like a little bit of cardio during the week, I switched straight to clear, whether it's vodka or gin or whatever. And I will take... And this is how I get my water in as well. I'll take a regular bottle of water, pour this much out, then put a little, like one shot of vodka in there, and then mix in a sugar-free flavor packet, mix it up, and drink that. You drink three or four of those a night. You got your water in, and you're not drinking all those calories. Listen, I got it down to a science. All right? And that's how I've lost all this weight.
You done found the secret. You're going to be like one of those YouTube clips. He found the secret that doctors don't really like him to know.
I'm going
to
be the spam post on Facebook where they tag 99 people in it, and it's got this video of people, their weight's like disintegrating inside their body. They're going to put me in one of those videos. Maybe I should do a video like that, explain what I do.
You should.
Now, I still, if we've got whiskey or a big black dick around, I will still drink it.
Well, this definitely will make you lose some weight.
Will it?
Yeah, because it's big and it's black and it's strong.
Man, this has got a Jägermeister vibe to it.
Yeah, have y'all tasted some of my big black dick?
Not yet. But I'm about to.
Yeah, you go first. I'm doing it though.
Here we go.
All right. Let's see how this ding tastes.
Let me make sure I get the the slurp sound effect while it is.
Oh yeah.
I gotta say, it's big strong. Black dick is stouter than I thought it would be.
It's black and strong.
It is. It's kind of like drinking your coffee black.
That's the first time I've had big black dick.
Yeah. Did you enjoy it? Did you have a good time?
It was actually better than I thought it would be.
That's what she said.
I can't wait to pull these clips. I'm just going to chop it all up, and it's going to go from in one big black dick reference to the next. It's going to be 5 minutes.
You know?
5 minutes of people talking about big black dick. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's not, what is that, 40%?
Yes, it actually tasted is. Like it, yeah. Yep, 40%.
I've never had any sort of dark rum like that. I'm going to be honest. I didn't even know that was a thing.
I knew it was going to be powerful just by the name.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, it's got to be powerful. I wish they had another bottle that says white dick and in a smaller bottle.
Probably like a 5%.
big white schlong gin or something.
It's lighter on the alcohol.
Right, it's like 2%.
See, that's what I would have to do. My regimen, I would have to do the big white dicks with the clear liquor.
It's like somebody turned the temperature up. You think?
Big white dick will do that to you.
Oh, man, we just started, and we already talking about...
I wonder how much of this YouTube's going to let fly once we post it. And they're going to be like, you only get 10 dick references per episode.
But, hey, but we're not talking about an anatomy. We're
That's
talking
right.
about a drink.
That's right.
And we can't help that. That's what it's called.
And if we're being honest, we could say this on the radio if we made it clear we're talking about that.
It's alcohol.
That's right.
So we're not talking about mines. I mean, we're talking actually about this. This is what it's called. It's hey. Called Big Black Dick.
Now,
Premium
wait,
Caribbean rum.
For 40%, it went down pretty smooth.
Wait, listen. Tomorrow, you are my producer starting at 1 o'clock.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah, I am.
We might need
I
to
am.
Talk about this.
Whew.
Man. This is a first on the podcast. Again, I had always been nervous when guests bring things. Val brought some sort of orange whiskey. I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, that
was
We
still
good.
Have it here. Leland brought some like special edition Maker's Mark. Mm-hmm. Dixon with the yeah. Jello shots. Will just brought some like kindergarten juice boxes.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I remember those growing up.
I ended up putting vodka in mine when he gave me one.
I think you might be an alcoholic.
No.
I think AJ gets the crown though, as far as drinks that he brought. That's quite something.
If I go for four glasses of Big Black Dick, then you can call me an alcoholic. But I'm gonna try to stick with this one right here.
Hey, just don't take this Big Black Dick home.
No, sir. That's a collector's item. I'm leaving that one with you.
Yeah, don't want your wife getting like, ooh, what's this?
No, you wait till she hears this podcast. She'll be all over me. She'll be like, oh, Big Black Dick, huh?
You going to take her home a sample?
You like that shit, Big Black Dick? I already know. I'm trying to think of what else who else brought what?
There was a beer, ginger beer or something.
Oh, I brought that. That was when Steve West was here.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Steve didn't know. Neither did Damien. So we gave Steve something to sign, and we gave Damien like a – Damien drank like four shots of Fireball while he was here.
Yeah.
And he signed a Fireball. I don't do Fireball.
I can't do Fireball.
When I was younger, we were doing Goldschlager
ooh,
a lot.
Ooh.
I think that was one of the first liquors that I had was Goldschlager.
Oh, it's like Jägermeister. Oh, God.
And I like Jägermeister.
Uh-uh.
I do.
Uh-uh.
But Goldschlager's, you know, it's got the gold chips in it. And it allegedly, this is what I always heard. Maybe this is not true. But because it's got the little, you know, razor thin gold chips in it, that it like slices your throat and makes the alcohol get to you faster. That's what I always heard.
What?
Is that real?
I don't think that's safe. I don't think that's what's supposed to happen.
Let's Google it. So yeah. Does Goldschlager cut your throat?
It's in a mobster.
Let's see. Does Goldschlager cut your insides? What does that say? Well, let's find out. Goldschlager. It says, do you remember your first shot of Goldschlager? Well, yes, I do. I don't. Do you want to know why? 6 years ago, I was told that the tiny flakes of gold in the liquor mitt were meant to cut the inside of your throat so the alcohol could make it into your bloodstream and get you drunk faster. See? It's exactly what I thought. For years, I feared that stuff, picturing dozens of tiny knives slicing into my throat and getting me hammered in 20 minutes flat. If you or someone you know has ever duped by this rumor, I'm here to tell you that it's all a lie. Whatever, dude. Whatever. Fake news. It cuts your throat. It gets you drunk quicker. I don't know, man.
I've never actually had gold, whatever that is.
Goldschlager.
Yeah, I've never drunk it.
That's a German deal, right?
It's good until you have too much of it one night. And it's kind of, you can't even smell it anymore, you know.
Mm.
But then when you throw up gold.
Yes.
Oh.
Like a damn leprechaun.
Pretty cold.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like the reason I bring it up is because it's like Fireball. It's a cinnamon deal.
See, I'm not a cinnamon fan.
Yeah.
Well, honestly, after you, we always bring this up every single time we're around each other, we're on the show, whether it's on the radio or the podcast. But spicy foods, I used to enjoy spicy food. Don't do it no more.
You used to enjoy spicy food?
I used to enjoy spicy food.
Is that why you gave me the green light the time we did that chip challenge?
Well, yes.
Did you think it was not going to be that bad?
I didn't
think
it was going to be that bad, honestly. I've eaten like Caribbean jerk chicken.
Yeah.
With extra hot sauce, whatever, hot spiciness on it.
Right.
I won't say hot sauce, but And I've eaten it, and I'm like, oh, this ain't nothing. That's what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
And then when I did that one chip challenge, it almost died.
Yeah, it almost killed you.
Yeah.
I'll admit that. I'm not afraid to admit that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a wonder. Here's what's crazy on the backside, because the last podcast we did together, we actually went back and watched the video because you did a Facebook Live. I was surprised I was able to find that. If you go back and watch it, you handled it a lot better than I thought you did. But here was my thought. I was like, I wasn't working there. I had aspirations of working at 99.5 at that time. I'm filling in for the guy, Leland Whaley. And here I am as a fill-in, almost killing the number one producer on the station. And they're never going to hire me after this. That's what I was thinking at the time. And surprisingly, it worked out. And maybe they just forgot. And when Murphy left, they were like, oh, God, what are we going to do? Let's hire Andrew. Now,
they did ask me, so what do you think about having Andrew?
They had to come to you to get the green light.
Well, I don't know. You might need to keep him part-time for a little while. And, you know, we'll see how things go.
That's exactly what happened, too. Man. Yeah, it was crazy. And props to Conrad, who...
Oh, yeah, shout out to Conrad.
Sports people listen to Jocks middays 10 to 2. I think three-man front.
I think he does some weekend stuff as well, too.
He came. Apparently, it wasn't as traumatic for him as it was for us, because I brought it up to him like a few weeks ago, and he was like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. I'm like, how could you forget about that?
Well, I mean, look, it didn't happen to him.
That's true.
Right? So... It may not have been as serious to you. It may not have been as serious to Conrad.
For me.
But it was definitely serious to me because, I mean, literally, he ran in there because I was literally puking in the trash can. And I had to stop the live feed because I was on Facebook Live and I was doing this.
Yeah.
And, yeah. After that, everything kind of went on a blur because I think I was supposed to be going on vacation soon from that as well too.
Yeah, that was not our finest moment, but it made for made for good radio. I'm just glad you. I still have the images of you in the production room, shirtless, screaming, sweating.
And look, I didn't realize parts of my body could sweat. I had no idea. Like. I know your nails can sweat. Like, yeah. When your nails can sweat, that's when you know it's bad.
And, you know, sometimes in bad situations, you learn things.
Well, I obviously did not learn anything because, there was a time before we actually met Tony. Like, you knew Tony before I did.
Yeah.
And you used to get some stuff from Tony. And you had got these Rice Krispie treats.
Yeah, I got them from Vaporforce. Delta 8 Rice Krispie treats. Yeah.
Totally
actually.
Legal.
Yeah, totally legal, but honestly, I don't know. This may have been so long ago. It may have been before you guys were doing Delta 8. I might have got it somewhere else.
Nah, that one was from us.
It was from him.
Okay.
It was from him. And
I told
not,
you not to eat the whole thing. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, no. But see, I didn't know you then. I didn't know you, Tony.
Well, I didn't know that much about Delta 8 at that time either.
Well, I don't know why I was taking like advice from this dude. I should have learned. So that's what I said. I didn't learn my lesson. So... You know, I was like, man, I've been stressed and, you know, anxiety and all this other stuff. Just a lot of, you know, just
working three jobs.
Yeah, working a lot of stuff, right? And so he gives me this. And I've eaten edibles before. And I've shared this story at the last podcast, but just kind of reiterating just for those new listeners. So I go to Andrew and I was like, hey, man, you know, what do you think? I mean, this is when you had just started and you were giving me some advice and you gave me. The Rice Krispie treat. And you was like, oh, man, I've done this. They ain't really done much for me. Kind of helped mellow me out before I go to sleep. It's not been that bad.
And in my defense, at that time, there was the angel and the devil on my shoulder. And the angel was like, do not give him anything else to eat. And the devil's like, do it, bro. It'll be funny. And so I gave you some. And
yes. You know. So I'm not going to tell you all the stuff that I do because I want nobody coming to find me.
That's right.
That night after I left, I go to one of my multiple jobs, and I'm sitting in the parking lot, and I'm like, man, my neck is tense. I'm stressed out. I'm, you know, just a lot of stuff just going on in my head. Now, I've eaten edibles before, you know, full disclosure, and nothing's has happened. So I'm thinking this is going to be one of those moments.
Right.
So I take a bite. I wait 10, 15 minutes. Nothing.
Oh, no.
I was like, so I took another bite. 10, 15 minutes. Nothing. So by this time, it was like 30 minutes, and I'm still not feeling anything. And I'm like, okay. Well.
I'm just hungry at this point. Let me just go ahead and finish it.
So then, I didn't eat the whole thing. But I did take another, like, maybe, you know, two bites after the other two that I did. And I was like, man, this ain't nothing. I'm good. And so I commenced to walk in. And and this is the time when you had to wear a mask.
Yeah.
Right. So this is during the whole COVID era. So, you know, everywhere you go inside of a building, you had to wear a mask. So I'm wearing my mask. I'm standing there. I'm you know, doing my job. And then it's like it hit me, but I couldn't tell if I was getting high or what was going on.
Yeah.
But I knew something wasn't right.
That's the telltale sign when you don't know what's going on. You're like, am I high? If you ask yourself, am I high? You're high.
Yes.
Every time.
And then I started looking at the lights. And for some reason, I just kept staring at the lights. And I was like, why are the lights moving like that? And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Why am I talking to myself? Am I talking to myself?
It's like narrating a movie.
Yeah, I am. And I'm like, wait a minute. Am I saying this out loud? Oh, I am saying this out loud. No, I'm not. I'm saying this. And I'm like having this full-blown conversation to myself. I couldn't tell if I was saying this out loud or within my head. People are coming up to me, talking to me, and I don't know if any of y'all watched the movie Friday. Have y'all?
Oh,
watched?
Yeah.
Okay, so you remember when Craig was sitting in this house, and he kind of looked at the dog, that little porcelain dog?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I remember that.
And I hear that, and he kind of looked at it. He's like, what? And he kind of dusted himself.
Uh-huh.
That was me.
That was you, yeah.
And people were coming, talking to me, I'm like, can they tell that I'm high right now?
That's the number one thing. If you're high, and anybody that's done this back in the day, or if you do it now, like, you always were, and more so in your older years. Like, it doesn't really matter a whole lot when you're in your 20s, but as you get older, you get really concerned with whether or not other people notice that you're high.
Yeah.
And, like, that's your whole goal, is to try to either figure out whether or not they do, or try to prevent them from finding out that you are.
Yeah. So I didn't know. I thought dusting yourself off, like I'm literally dusting my shoulders off, thinking that was supposed to help. That didn't help. And then by that time, I was like, yeah, I got to get out of here. I got to go. So I'm literally around this area, and I have to drive all the way back to where I live.
Yeah.
Which is about 45 minutes to an hour.
Easy.
I don't even know how I got home. But the funny part is, make a long story short, you know, I get home and I get this epiphany about becoming a better man.
Oh, no.
And I asked that one question to my wife, and I was like, yeah. So what can I do to be better to you? I love you, and I want to, you know, show you that I'm a good husband. And, you know, so tell me all the things I can do. Yeah, I did not go to sleep that night.
No, you did not.
So then I'm up in the, I mean, yeah. So I was up like 7 o'clock that morning.
And she's still running off a list.
Yeah. So by the time I actually got a chance to get some sleep, it was like 7 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. So I was up. And so then the next day, I was so bad at Andrew. I was like, I think I had to run your show too. I was like, I ain't never, ever, 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 ever.
Yeah, and I'd forgotten I even gave that to you. And you're like, and you ain't going to believe what happened last night.
It was those last two bites. You shouldn't have done those.
Probably not. And then on top of that, I started, you know, freaking out because I threw it out of the window as I was driving, because I was that just. And because I was paranoid, and I was like, yeah.
Even though it's legal, you're like, what if I get pulled over?
Right, yeah. And I'm like, and then I was like, then I started freaking out because I'm like, thinking about all the birds and the ants and stuff that would get into it, and then that's going to cause some other issues. They're going to get, and I'm like, it was just like a domino effect.
Right. You end up, when you get that situation, and so many people, it's become, especially with Delta 8, it's become really normalized, I think, throughout society. Like, you've got people that aren't like stoners or potheads that use Delta 8 now because granted it's THC, but it's legal and it's more acceptable. There's plenty of people that don't use it recreationally. They use it for sleep and anxiety and all these other things. But still, if you don't pay attention to what you are taking,
yes,
you could end up in a bad situation. And the same thing goes for NyQuil or any medication. You know, if you take too much, you're going to be in a bad spot.
Yeah.
But I'm like I said, the older I get, the more I'm like, how did I do that back in the day?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, and honestly, now as I'm getting older and wiser, I learn this. There's this one thing that's very powerful, and it's the power of no. I've learned how to say that, and so anytime that you offer, and you haven't offered me anything,
no,
you know, thank God, because I always have to say nah, and I think that's kind of also one of the reasons why I kind of prolonged this.
Well,
this podcast was so
long. Was afraid I was going to have something, which I don't, but I do have a bunch of ghost peppers that I personally grew myself that are super hot at the house. I got them in the freezer, and I thaw them out every now and then and eat them. I can handle them, but it's not a heat level for the average person.
Yeah,
but I eat that stuff like as enjoyment. You know, we had, what do we have? We had steak last night, and I just take these peppers and bite a small piece off and eat it with my food.
What? Like, what got you into eating spicy food like that?
You know, I can't even remember. I think it might have been the very first time we did the one chip challenge is what started it.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and maybe it was a little before, but it was around that time frame, which was circa 2016, maybe. I was at 101. It was Jessica and myself, and we got a hold of. And back then, the one chip challenge, one tortilla chip, cost $60.
Yeah.
And a listener bought one for us, and they said, "I'll buy this if y'all will do it." And we're like, "All right, bet." So we get it. We eat the chip. We both flip out. We're doing it on Facebook Live. The video's still out there. And I think that's what started it all. And ever since then, I've gotten a kick out of getting people to eat hot stuff. But somewhere in the mix, I started enjoying it myself. It was probably a deal where I was like, okay, fine, I'll do it. You know, if you'll agree to do it, I'll do it too. And, you know.
Yeah.
But I genuinely like it. I've always liked hot sauce and stuff like that. But
yeah, but see, hot sauce is different. To me, that's just more of like a vinegary taste more than spice. But yeah, I like I said, I used to enjoy spicy food. Like, now I can't even smell. It's like shrimp and spicy food. Don't even bring that to me.
Why shrimp?
I had a bad experience when I was a kid. So I was at my grandmother's house. We're sitting at her table, and she was boiling some shrimp. And I was watching my brother eat it, and he was, like, tearing that thing up. Like, it was like a steak type of thing. And I was like, ooh, I'm young. I'm impressionable. I was like, I wanna mimic my big brother. So I asked my grandmother to go ahead and put some in a bowl for me, and I took two bites and threw that up right there on the kitchen table. And from that day forward, I don't eat shrimp.
Yeah, one bad experience can really railroad your ability to ever do that, whatever that is, again. More so when you're a kid.
Yeah.
I think we've all had moments when we were kids where something happened and we're like, no, I don't care. I don't care if it's safe. I don't care if it's safe. We're never doing that again.
I just hate having to explain to everybody that I'm not allergic to shrimp. I just don't like the texture of shrimp. I'll do crab cakes, but I won't eat crab by itself.
I'm not a big seafood guy, you know? Either. I'll eat seafood, but I feel like there's a lot of people out there that are just like, seafood is the end all be all.
No.
And I don't see why.
No.
I feel like it's more of a novelty thing. Like, we have crawfish boils. I love that, and I love crawfish, but I don't want to do it every night. I don't want to do it once a week.
Yeah.
Like, that's a hassle to have to crack open my food, you know, and like go through this whole process. It's a good novelty deal, but I don't
want
to do it all the time.
Mm-mm.
I want to be able to pull a piece of pizza out of a box and eat it. I don't want to work. I'm relaxing. Don't make me work for it. So, obviously, everybody knows that you and Leland are the duo. How long have y'all been together?
It'll be 14 years this February.
Yeah.
On his birthday, years. 14 years, yeah.
What is it, 14 years? I'm trying to say, where was I 14 years ago?
2010.
24 years old? How old were you when you started with him?
14 years ago. Well, what was that be? was that 29. Yeah, I was 29 going. Okay. Because my birthday is in June, so yeah, it'll be 29.
When you all started, that was about the time that I was coming up to our current station, Cumulus. Was it Cumulus at that time?
No, it was actually Citadel. You weren't around Citadel. Around that time. Because okay. we didn't meet you until we left and end up going over to the other place.
Well, at 24, I was going to that station asking if I could intern and being told to kick rocks.
Like, oh, really?
There ain't no way we're going to let you intern. I'm like, why? You know, and it's a whole thing. You're not in college, blah, blah, blah. They, you know, they had their parameters for it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that happened at every station in Birmingham because all I ever wanted to be was on the radio.
We should have did what I did because I've never really talked about how I got on the radio. But because I went to when I was actually trying to go into television. And so I got my first degree is in video technology.
What kind of, like on-screen television?
No, more behind the scenes, okay. Like directing and camera operator, stuff like that. So my first degree is in video technology. Mm-hmm. So I was in Texas and, you know, community college and went there. And I was doing a news report on the careers fair at my school. And the career service director came up to me and was like, hey, you know, Infinity Broadcasting, they're here. They're looking for somebody. I ain't think about radio, to be honest with you. You know, most people who were in radio or are in radio, they listened to the radio or knew somebody that was in radio.
Right.
Just had some type
of
passion.
They wanted to do it.
Right.
Know?
I was more wanting to do television. My dad had still does it, a TV show in San Antonio while he was actually still serving in the military. And I did that, his very first show, 1995. Dang, I felt old.
I was 10.
So, yeah, it was 1990. Wow. Back in my day in 1995. and then I went to every radio station in Dallas, Texas. Everyone. I'm talking about Disney Radio. I literally was thinking about, I went to every radio station in Dallas, Texas. I even went to the Cumulus station there. And this is like, you know, this was, man, because this is about, what, 2000, around 2003.
Yeah.
You know, I even went to the Cumulus station down there. It was like Citadel. And I mean, I literally walked in there and it was like a record skip because, you know, obviously they were like, are you sure you want to work here? I was like, I didn't care. I just wanted to get into this business.
Right.
And once I got in, started off at CBS Radio and been at CBS Radio in Dallas and got a chance to go up to Chicago and worked around some very big names in this business.
Yeah, those are big time markets.
Yeah. And then, you know, came down here.
So I think I know a little bit of the story of you guys meeting. You were working in a different role and Leland was needing a producer. And how did that go? Wasn't he like, hey, can I have that guy?
Well, so that was Leland's version of what happened, right?
listen, I know exactly what he's talking about, too.
So that's Leland's version. So, because, like, all right, so what I got to, it was called Citadel at the time before Cumulus bought it out.
Yeah.
And I was doing the weekends. So all the weekend paid program. I started working that because that was my foot in the door. Because for some reason, nobody wanted to do it. There was one that was like some dream interpretation show, and everybody was kind of like leery about it. Like, it goes against my beliefs. I was like,
Call me now.
I interpret your dreams. And I mean, people were calling, but I was.
That'd be a fascinating show. People would listen to that.
Yeah.
That's
so
wild.
I did it, and at the time, our engineer was actually the engineer and the program director, which I don't know how he does it, but he did it, and he did a great job, and he hired me on. And so I was like, I'll help out during the week, because I knew most of the people that have a lot of pull that can get you to do a lot of different things were there during the week, on the weekend, not at 7 o'clock on a Saturday. So I was like, hey, let me just do anything. So at the time, the receptionist that we had, I think she was out sick for like a week or something like that. So I was like, hey, I'll do that. And during that time, we were strictly AM, and then for WAPI, and then they were transitioning to AM to FM.
Yeah.
And so then they brought in Leland. Now, I already knew that they were talking about having me become full-time and produce the show. Now, I didn't meet Leland before he came in, but I was sitting behind the receptionist desk, and I knew that he was going to be coming in because they already told me, hey, you know, we're bringing Leland in, and they kind of gave me the spiels like, hey, he loves to interact with his producers. And
are they calling him Lee at that point?
No, no, they call him Leland.
Lee Whaley?
Yeah, well, that was his TV name. That was his TV name. And so as he came up, I'm sitting behind the receptionist desk.
Right.
And I see him. I was like, oh, hey, well, that must be Leland. Hey. And then he went to go talk to Frank and some other folks back in the back. Mm-hmm. And he came out, and then, you know, because I already knew what was going on. I just, you know, but you know, in business, and you can't really say nothing. So right, I had to, you know, keep things kind of quiet. And so he goes in the back, and I guess they talk with how they talk. And then I guess he saw me, and he was like, hey, I want him to be his producer. But I already knew I was supposed to be his producer.
Okay, so it did, technically, the way Leland tells the story kind of did happen, but it was already a done deal.
It was already a done deal.
And
yeah,
they
yeah.
were like, yeah, guy, you can have
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, sure, sure. Yeah, yeah. But they already told me, like, you know, oh, yeah, we you know, we're working about doing the middays, and we're going to switch things up because we're going from AM to FM. And, you know, we got this opening from 10 to 2 in the midday. And, you know, we'd love to have you be his producer. Do you want it? I was like, yeah, I'll be a producer. Heck yeah.
You had no concerns about, like, who this guy was or if he was you know, a real jerk off or anything?
No, no.
Because you didn't know him at the time.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I've been around, like, beforehand. I mean, I produced morning show, like morning radio in Chicago. I produced some radio in Dallas. So, I mean, I've had experiences with big talent.
Who's the worst person you ever worked with?
I never really had a worst person.
Do I ask everybody that question,
yeah,
Tony?
I think so, but it's fun to talk about sometimes.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had, like...
Well, I mean, well, there's got to be a worst.
Well, I there is one, but I'm not going to say that person's name.
What if you say their name in Pig Latin?
No, I'm not going to say their
Maybe
name.
Maybe don't say their name, but say what they did that made them the worst.
Yeah. Well, this is before I came here.
Clues so we can then guess who it is.
Well, you won't know who this person is. You won't know this person. But I'm not gonna say because I'm not gonna do it. Because I'm actually still friends with that person on social media.
Well,
just
tell
them
you love them and then tell the story.
I'm not gonna do that. I'm not doing that.
Was it? Well, the way you brought it up, it couldn't have been that bad because you know you
well,
couldn't
let's
think
just,
of it.
Well,
at first.
Well, let's just say after they did what they did. They ended up losing their job after the whole situation. Mm. So
it was a backstab old radio school.
Well, it was. Well, I think it was a culmination of what they did prior to that. It was one of those type of workers, and then they ended up after they did what they said to me. It just kind of it was like that camel that broke the straw right. that broke the camel's back type of thing. But I'm not gonna.
I get it. Well, and we got Bird. You know, Bird didn't want to talk about it, but he had been stabbed in the back in radio a couple times.
Yeah.
And one of them was really bad.
Yeah.
And he never said the name on air, but we actually got him to talk about it, which was really, it's crazy because I hear all those stories of people stabbing each other in the back in the radio business. And even before I had gotten the business, you know, you hear people talking about it, you hear the drama sometimes spill over on air. But I never really experienced it. There was one guy at 101 that I felt like he was the type of guy that was willing or ready to do the whole stab you in the back in order to take your position.
Mm-hmm.
But it never happened. And I don't want to say he would have since I don't have proof of that. But I've never dealt with a situation where I look at people in this business, whether it's at our place or anywhere else, and say, oh, that person would go lie on me to management to try to take my job.
Well, and see, and this is the reason why I work the way that I do, because I want to make it very hard for anybody to try to do what I do for
right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you can go and try to if you want to, but then you're going to have some big shoes to fill. You know what I'm saying? So,
well, you could do like previous employees do and just – you know, when you sign up for a program that everybody's got to use, use your personal email and then make up the password and then nobody can access it. Because there's several things at this station that, like, to log in, you got to use a previous employee's email to access it, like on the podcast and stuff like that.
Well, yes. Sorry, because I handle all that. Well, there was a lot of transitions because, you know, it's a lot of behind the scenes stuff. But now that has been fixed.
Oh, has it?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, so I'll share all that information once, you know, I won't put that on.
Well, I just hear the complaining about it. I don't personally use it.
Well, okay. Well,
there is one problem with my podcast in particular. I don't get posted on Spotify. I only get posted on Apple Podcasts, and I don't know why that is.
Okay. So a lot of it is not really what we can handle. It's more of a upper,
corporate.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So
that'll never work. It's too much red tape.
So, but honestly, there's a lot of things we are still trying to smooth out and work out. It's been a long transition, and I try to communicate, especially with the producers, say, hey, this is what's going on. Just bear with us as we're trying to get this process going, you know, because not only you're not the only one that's having to deal with it. I have to deal with it as well, too. But now I have to wear many hats. I have to make sure, you know, everything is, you know, running smooth.
I just try to forget it's happening.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes I'm reminded of it. Like a listener will say, when are you going to get put on Spotify? And I'm like, it's in a million other places.
Mm-hmm.
So, really, in the big picture, it's not that big a deal, but it's just
I'm just glad I don't get those text messages at, like, 7 o'clock in the evening. Hey, do you mind checking my podcast is up? Like,
okay, listen. So, there's 3 separate podcasts per day posted of my show, so people can go back and listen if they missed it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes John Bird may get in a hurry. And he misses an hour, misses the third hour. Or it's not even that he misses it. He may forget to click publish or whatever.
No, so, a lot of it is just because it's not there.
Okay, well, that too. There. So I'll get messages from listeners who can't listen. You know, being in the middle of the day, it's harder for people to listen at work. Hey, where's the podcast? And I'm like, well, what's the soonest I can get this fixed? Well, AJ's at the station. He's the only one there. He's going to be there until midnight. Let me see if I can get him to do it. I hate texting you that, by the way.
Well, you know, it's so funny because at first I was like, sure, I got this. Boom, it's up. After like the 15th time, I was like, you know what? If it's not up there, he's going to have to put it up there tomorrow. I'm not doing that no more.
I've tried. I've really tried to do some self-reflecting in the sense of, and I didn't really notice it until we got over here and started doing this podcast. But I think Tony will agree, I get a little demanding. I don't know if it's demanding, but I like over-suggest things. And I'm like, oh, we need to do this, and blah, 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 blah. And I try to keep that in check. But I think when it comes to producing a show or putting a show together, it's like I want perfection.
Well, I mean, look, at the end of the day, that's what we all want. We want perfection as a producer, as an owner of talent, because it is a representation of who you are. And that you're, and honestly, your job is on the line.
There's that.
And if you're not producing a great quality program, then...
Well, and Tony's one of my biggest cheerleaders, and I'm probably one of my biggest critics. So.
Well, he's hard on himself, but he just tries to get better all the time, and I encourage that.
He's the same way. He's never done anything like this, and we started doing it in October, and now he's a professional. You know, he's at Command Central over here, and he's got a million things he's doing, running a whole freaking podcast.
Yeah, they're working it out, you know.
Well, and see, that's the thing about this whole line of work. It's almost kind of like the only way you know that it's going to be good if you just do it.
Yeah.
You know, and you got to sometimes you got to be kind of like this perfectionist. You know, the mic's got to sound a certain way. Your cans got to sound a certain way. And now that you got the cameras, the angles and the lights and all that has to be a certain way. And cuz if it's not, then you're not going to put on a good show because you're going to be thinking about all this extra stuff that you don't really need to be thinking about. And that's why you have people in certain positions that you can trust to know that, hey, this is going to get done and it's going to get done right.
Yeah, this is a whole new aspect of everything in the sense of lights and cameras and everything else. So it's added a whole nother layer of, you know, preparation, mm-hmm. I guess, in getting ready. And, you know, we sit down, we got an idea of what we want to talk about, but it's like, yeah, worry about the cameras, you got to worry about the lights and, you know, angles and everything else. And it's just, it's, I don't know, it's a learning process. By the way, 14-7.
Yes.
Chiefs. Yes. Right now. Come on, baby. Come on. What's the weirdest thing? We talked about a couple of these before the show. Weirdest thing to ever happen between you and Leland. Not against each other, but like you were telling the story about being at the Olympic thing that you guys were doing and Leland misgendered somebody. You know.
Well, like, there might be there's a ton of those. But one actually came to mind. We were doing a the Bikes for Tots thing, whatever.
Toys for Tots.
Toys for Tots. Yeah. But it was like a bunch of bicycles. And at the time, Leland was like on this, he was on this lift. So, and this is before we had like Comrexes and the equipment that we have now. So he's literally like up in the air. And I'm on the phone talking to someone while there was a caller that was talking with Leland, and this caller was
Leland's up in the air in like on a scissor lift.
Yeah,
and he's broadcasting.
Yeah,
okay.
So we were doing this thing. It was like some, you know, Toys for Tots type of, you know, remote.
Yeah.
And so Leland was out there. I'm back in the station. I'm running the board, and I typically try to have my headphones on while I'm on the phone. And trying to listen, so I can listen and, you know, get the caller on the air at the same time,
right.
Especially when it's on a remote. So I know sometimes when people call, I feel like I'm kind of short with them, but they don't realize, like, well, Leland's not here. So sometimes Leland's talking to me, and I'm trying to talk to them and try to get them on the air while also managing the screen and the board. Like, there's a lot of stuff going on that I'm trying to.
When callers call in and they start yapping at a producer, I'm like, y'all got to stop. Like,
yeah.
You're calling in to talk to me. Sit on a hold and wait for me to bring
but
you
I
on.
But a lot of times, listeners, what they will do, they'll say, hey, do you mind saying this? I'm like, I'll just say yes, but I feel bad because.
Would you mind saying Big Blank Dick is my favorite drink of all time?
I'm not going to say that. There are times I'll be like, hey, well, you know, I could put you on hold. You can tell them that, because they'll say something and it'll be going for like 15 minutes. I'm like, you want me to repeat all this? What you just said? There's no way I could do that. But so that particular day, I had my headphones off. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't really hear what was going on the air. And I'm putting the call on hold, and they're sitting there talking to me. We're having a conversation. I'm like, yeah, oh yeah, it's a nice, beautiful day, blah 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 blah. Not paying attention, what's going on? And this caller is like some troll, and they were like, yeah, and they were talking about vaginas and and areolas, and they were just saying all this stuff on the air, and I'm.
And this is a different, like, we would probably let that fly now. But it back then was a little more.
But they
like,
weren't
okay, dude.
But they weren't saying the medical version of the body parts.
They were saying tits and not breasts,
right?
They were the P word, poussoir,
yes,
usipay,
yes,
as they say,
yes, yeah. Yes. They were saying that, and Big Black, you know, they were saying all that stuff, and I'm just oblivious, not paying attention. It was going on for like a good 5 to 7
Man.
Minutes on the air, and no one can do anything but me, and I'm just and then finally I put my headphones on, and all I hear is, hang up the phone.
Oh my god.
Like,
oh
damn,
no,
oh,
that's bad.
I thought that was gonna be my last day that day.
So Leland, what year was this?
Oh God, this is like it's almost like in the beginning, like maybe around the first, second year.
So Leland's on a scissor lift,
yeah,
broadcasting live, screaming at you to hang up on the guy that's talking about titties,
yeah,
and whatever else. Yeah. And you're like, stop! Oh, that's gotta be
because he can't hang up on this right. person. I'm the only one that could, and finally, as I put my headphones back on, I'm hearing the end of this. I was like, oh. Hang up.
Yeah.
Did you go back
buddy.
And listen to it?
No.
You probably didn't have podcasts back then, right?
No, we didn't have podcasts. Yeah, podcasting wasn't like a huge thing back in those days. You know, we didn't it was like need to know radio. If you wanted to hear us, you had to be right there.
That's right.
You know, so yeah, it was. I mean, there was some other moments. You know, where I like when a caller they'll say, oh, I want to talk about this, and then when they get on the air, all they want to do is talk about somebody else that's on the, you know, and I'm like, oh.
Or they want to trash another caller?
Not even just to trash another caller. They may want to trash like another host, and they'll say stuff, and you just be like, oh, gosh.
Yeah, because what are we supposed to do in those situations?
I don't know.
Like, if somebody calls me and they say Dale Jackson sucks, like, even if I agree with it, like, what am I supposed to say? You know?
Right. You know, or they talk about other people. I'm like, stop. Just say it to them. Like, don't. Why are you doing this to us? Like, you putting me in an awkward situation. I don't want to be in that. You know.
Mm.
So yeah,
that's the way people are, man.
Yeah, it gets awkward sometimes.
In the day and age of our text line, we can actually kind of corner a lot of that in the sense of they'll just text it in instead of calling it in.
Yeah.
Or maybe that's just me. I know Leland doesn't read his text.
No.
But I rarely take phone calls, so most of my audience is trained to text, which something crazy started happening last week. I showed you the fish tank deal and how people would troll the contestants by just typing in the text-to-speech, J, 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 J. Because after it does that so many times, it starts slurred. It's like, and so now people are texting my show on the text line just going, J, 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 J. And so.
Yeah.
I don't know how to make that stop, but.
You know, I got to do better at getting on the text line, but. In my defense, I'm not just paying because we got to look at text, social media.
Yeah, you shouldn't be looking at text
call,
as a producer.
You know, then we got to, you know, interact with the host, and then, you know, y'all will be like, oh, yeah, I just found this audio. I need y'all to play this in like 2 seconds. Like,
yeah, that's me.
And it is so funny. We'll sit there like, oh, yeah, I just sent you some audio. I need you to play this right now. Hold up.
Is it not ready? Of 1 to 10, on a scale of 1 to 10, how hard is it to produce for me? And I don't mean just like playing audio or answering calls. I mean like on a drama queen scale.
You're not really bad. Really? No, well, I'll put it like this. Because you're so used to one producer. I'm not going to say first name. But you're so used to one producer, right?
Right.
I always had to tell you, hey, you know, I know what the hell I'm doing, right? You don't have to sit there and remind me every 5 seconds about what to do.
I do, and I can't help it because I'm so used to it. So, and we love John Bird.
Yeah,
more
yeah,
than he'll ever know.
Look, he's one of the hardest workers.
He is
out there. He's very reliable. You know, we love to pick on him, but he's very dependable, and I love working with him. I love working with everybody at the station. So,
yeah, I've got a list of audio. I try to put all my stuff together, and a lot of the show's organic and, you know, may come in a different way, but I'll have audio that I'm like, if I get to it, I want to play this, and I'll have it listed, and I'll say, okay, this is cut 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And at each break, if I know, hey, when I come back, I want to talk about this and I want to play that, I say, all right, this next one, we got cut 4, cut 5.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it doesn't always happen, but if I think I'm going to make it, then I'll tell him. And so when you fill in, I do that to you. I'm like, all right, AJ, we're going to do cut 5 and 6. Man, I know.
I
got the list.
Well, and here's the thing, because he does it in order, right? It's not like you just do it just, you know, randomly. You have it a system on how you do your audio.
Yeah.
And so when I get in and I get that list, I pull all the audio and I already have it already ready to go. So, like, all you got to say is, you know, oh yeah, I'm and then you sometimes hold up the one, or you hold up the two, or how many cuts you have, and I'm like, I already got that audio just ready. I'm just waiting for you to, you know, talk about it.
I don't know if y'all are busy or you got something else going on, so I want
to. Well, Andrew's used to Bird, and I think he's just trusting and verifying with you.
Yeah, I know. But still, it's just one of those things. I tell him when we, like, on break or during, I say, like, hey, you know I got all the audio pulled, so you ain't gotta do that. You're good. Like, I'm paying attention.
It's in my DNA now to double check everything.
Yeah,
you know, I just.
But I do love it when, you know, we're on the phone, right? We're like, there's callers calling in, and we're trying, because at one point you want us to not let the phones ring for so long. So we're sitting here, not you personally, but just hosts in general. And we're sitting there trying to answer the calls, but then it's like, oh yeah, I gotta play this audio. Like, hold up, like, wait a minute, hold on, let me get this call. All right, forget about the call. Just put them on hold. Tell them. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, part of it, I think, part of the reason I don't take that many phone calls. There's a few reasons. It keeps the pressure off of John Bird. That's one less thing he's got to worry about. But also, there's a lot of, and I love everybody that listens to the show, but there's a lot of people that will call in and say the same thing every day. Mm. And I still take some of these phone calls. It's fine, and I want to talk to these people, but I'm very selective.
Yeah.
Like, if you call in and you tell John Bird you want to argue or that I'm an idiot or something, you know, we'll probably take your call. Or if you've got some sort of background related to, you know, we'll take that call. But I've just got, my thought process is, man, I put so much work into this package that I'm presenting to the audience today. I need to give it to y'all. Now, that may change. If we move to 4 hours one day, that probably change, you know. Mm. I mean, Leland's obviously got more time than I do, so it's easier for him to present what he's put together and still take phone calls. But I'm just like, I'm still in this mode of being on only 2 hours.
But you're not on for 2 hours.
I know.
I can understand if it's like an hour. So like when we do Breaking Bread, you know, Leslie and Will and I, as we just really get into the groove of things, it's like the show is done.
You're
like,
that's like, tough. Man.
But you just learn how to adjust, right? So, you know, that's why taking your breaks when you're supposed to take the breaks helps, because then you can kind of manage how you're going to kind of fill in those gaps with the topics that you want to talk about. And clock management is always key.
Good at it either. I think I learned it from Leland, filling in on his show so many times.
Well, look, I'll be in there. Yeah, he's all like all those hand gestures. Like, yeah, I'm over here doing this. Like, hey, wrap up or hey, break. You know, and he's looking. Oh, forget it. I'm going to take another phone call. I'm like.
Okay. You get a good workout doing this number right
here. Oh, yeah. My shoulders are strong.
You take some 10-pound dumbbells and just do this all day.
I think the last time we did Leland's show, AJ was in the production booth, and he was, like, almost doing jumping jacks to get us to stop.
Yeah, we were running our mouth.
Yeah, I mean, because when you're in the groove of things, you know, it's hard because you're trying to put on a great product, but then at the same time, you're trying to look at the clock, you're looking at the producer, you're trying to read all the stuff that you're, you know, what you want to talk about as you're trying to talk. And then if it's breaking news on top of everything, then you got to transition from what you were already wanting to talk about to whatever is going on at the moment. And you're getting that in real time. Yeah. So you got to know how to juggle a whole bunch of stuff at once and then put on something that's informative, that's entertaining, and people want to tune in and want to be a part of.
I couldn't do it. It's too much. Too many things at once. You got to be a special breed.
I'm surprised, but that's why you're king of the producers. Bird can get away with it, actually. Knowing John, it shocks me because it's not as easy as people would think.
Well, and that's where Andrew does a good job. He kind of plans everything out for him, right? So, like, if John was doing what I was doing for some of the other shows, yeah, he it may get a little distracting, but you are organized.
I try to structure it, yeah,
as much as possible to say okay, and it's very routine. You rarely go away from what you typically would do. You already know at 1:38, you know, we're going to do the Willow segments.
Right.
So after that, after you come out of that 1:30 break, we already know Willow segments. This is what, and you already have, we're going to do What the Heck Was That? So, you know, this is what we already know we're going to talk about. We know in the beginning, you're going to come in, hey now.
Yeah, I think it was just kind of, I wasn't always like that, but I think over time, I learned how to work within Bird's boundaries.
Why are we talking about Bird for? I feel bad.
We all love him. It's harder producing than one would think. And Bird has an OCD or an ADHD thing, and whatever, with five things going on at once, it's surprising.
Well, I have had listeners who've come up to the station and they've actually seen me work, and they're like, I had no idea. All the stuff that you do. So, like, because when someone comes in and they're having a conversation with me, I'm having to talk to them while also paying attention to the host, while also answering the phones, while also trying to pull audio on another computer, while also managing the clock that I see. And then if we're missing anything or we need to add anything, also making sure all that is running smoothly.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, now I'm in the position I'm in now. There's other things outside of that I have to get done while also doing all the other stuff at the same time. So it is a lot of stuff that goes on.
It is a lot. Talking about Leland and you guys, 14 years, you said?
14 years coming up next month.
People may be surprised by this, but I had worked with you quite a few times before you even went to 99.5.
Mm-hmm. Well, back to 99.5, yeah.
Yeah, oh, back to 99.5, because you guys were at 101, and I started filling in, I think, Christmas of 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And then you guys left in March of 2016, I believe.
Well, no, it was...
You were a little later.
It was actually around May.
May. Okay.
Yeah, it was around May.
Leland leaves, and this is the way he told me the story, that he's like, y'all need to hire this kid. When he left, he was trying to do right by him.
Yes.
And make sure they had somebody. You hung around. You did it the right way when you left 101.
Oh, well, at least I tried it.
Well, you did it the right way, and then you got sued. And I
did it the right way, right?
Yeah.
And it was so messed up about the whole situation, right? Because I really don't talk about that, but it's been some years, so, you know.
Yeah, 2016. Yeah. It was 2017.
It actually didn't really get done with everything until about 2018.
Really?
Yeah, 2018, 2019. That's when everything was complete, finally. But it was like a two-year ordeal.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And they just all kinds of crap.
Just
digging in.
Yeah, it was... I was like, I never ever want to go through that again.
That's
never
good. Over what? People leave jobs all the time. Like, what do you think you're special?
I don't know. And I don't even. I was still kind of like, what did I do?
Yeah.
What did I do?
Well, you were kind of in shock that was all happening in the first place.
Yeah, I just remember that. Like, I remember that day. We were supposed to have a every Monday morning, there was like this department head meeting.
Meeting, yeah.
You know, at that time, I'm handling promotions. I'm doing, helping Leland, you know, manage the station, also producing his show. And then I had my own show on the other station.
Right.
So just kind of like what I'm doing now, just having my hands on a whole bunch of stuff. And that day, I actually came in late because I think I had an event that weekend. Because I was tired.
Right.
I was tired. So I was like, all right, I'm just gonna come in when I come in. And as soon as I walked in, it was just like, oh, did you hear? I'm like, hear what?
Oh God, I can imagine, dude.
And I was like, what in the world is going on? Like, I don't know. I just got here. Yeah. I go to my office and it was just like,
I feel like
a high school,
because
everybody was running and asking me what was going on. I was like, I just got here. I don't even know what the heck is going on. Like, what
Man,
is going on?
That'd have been like a kick in the nuts to you, in the sense of just blindsiding you, you know?
Right. And so I And then, you know, once I found out everything was happening, I was like, oh. And, you know, and I've been in this business for a long time. Things like this happen.
All the time.
So, it wasn't like, I wasn't like worried. I was just like, okay, you know, we just have
like,
to.
Whatever. We just get a new job. You
know,
it's fine.
You know? And so, what was so crazy about that whole situation was they allowed that whole 2 week. For them to.
Was it 2 weeks or was it 1 week?
It was 2 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah, it was 2 weeks. And I remember like the last day. And that's when, then when it was like set in reality, when it was the last day, that's when it was just kind of like the panic really ensued for everybody else.
Bro, my mind was blown because I was listening.
Yeah.
And everything was normal. And then y'all get to the end of the show. Leland's like, well, it's the last day for us here on this station. Thank y'all for everything, and who knows, maybe you'll hear us again one day. Yeah. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And my mind's blown because I had been filling in for Leland. I'm like, there goes my reference point. There goes my guy that was even going to get me a job at that station. And so I was crushed on multiple fronts in the sense of y'all were gone, wasn't going to be able to hear you anymore, and hey, the one guy that was batting for me just dipped.
Yeah. And so when that happened, that was like on a Friday. And they were coming to me, was like, so what are you going to do? Huh? I'm like,
I was just trying to figure out what's going on, cousin.
I'm like, I don't know. And so then, you know, your partner and all that stuff at the time, they were like, because there were two people that left during that same time. And so
Who two people?
Yeah, so it was
Lindenberg.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. We're having her on next week.
Yes.
So I make her recount her side of the story.
I don't know all that process, but I just remember like so they both left around at the same time.
Right.
And so they reached out to your partner, was like, cuz at the time she was producing her show.
Jessica.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. She was with Lindenberg, which was a great show, yeah, by the way. Those two fit perfectly.
And, you know, they're apologizing and, you know, oh my God, you know, we'll do it, blah, 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 you know, just calming her down. And then they come to me, so what you gonna do? I'm like,
I don't know.
I don't know. And so, that was Friday. Monday comes. They're still asking me, so What are you going to do?
And you have no plan at this point.
No plan.
You have no idea what you're going to do.
No.
Okay.
So I'm still just doing what I'm normally doing, because then they had to fill in with someone to cover that time slot.
The afternoon.
Right.
Okay.
And so after like the 10th time they asked me about what I'm going to do, no, there was no like, oh, well, we will, how about we offer you this or we do this or blah, blah. Nothing. It's just like, so. Are you going to stay? You going to go? Like, what do you plan on
doing?
Almost
like they're telling you, all right, why don't you go ahead and go?
That's something like that, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, fine. Okay, well, I'll put in my two-week notice. Well, my two-week notice was the day right then and there. So I'm sitting in the production room preparing for my night show that I did on the other station and getting ready for the afternoon show. Like I said, I had no idea what was going to happen. And then another coworker comes in, and I was like, oh, what are you still doing here? Oh, yeah, I'm going to do the afternoons. Oh, what do you mean you're going to do the afternoons? Oh, they didn't tell you?
Oof.
No. Then I saw the engineer walk by.
Oh, no. And so they walked you out. Is that right?
Yeah. So that day, they didn't give me no, they didn't allow me the 2 weeks, and they didn't do none of that for me. So I literally had to go in my office, pack up all my stuff, give them my key card, and they walked me out.
This is crazy. All right.
So that's how they treated me.
I came in after you left, and we got like a 6 week notice. They said, we're changing the format, and you guys are going to be gone. We'll give you a severance, and you got 6 weeks. If you say anything about this within these 6 weeks, we will not give you your severance. So they held that over our head. And so we go through the 6 weeks. You want to talk about depressing, bro. Mm-hmm. 6 weeks of depressing radio. Then we get to the last day. They make us wait till the very last day to say something.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get to talk about it. We talk to listeners, and it's all emotional and everything else. We're the afternoon show at that point. And so at the end of the day, everybody's gone home except for one person, which is the engineer. And so, well, I take that back. There was a few people there, but the engineer was the main guy there. So once we got done with our show, she stayed at the company. The engineer had to walk me to my office, and he's a great guy.
Oh, yeah, awesome guy, yeah.
Walks me to my office, lets me get all my stuff, and then has to walk me out. And he's like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I will never forget the company acting that way. Like, yeah. There's no need. If you're having a bad breakup with an employee, that's one thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, we're normal people. You're letting me go. In my case, they're letting you go. In your case, like, well, you got to treat me like I just, you know, said shit on the air.
And it's not like I you know, and there was still that opportunity.
Like I said, big black dick on the radio, walking me out.
It's a but, drink,
right? It's not like I sat there and said anything crazy, and then I even said, hey, if there is other opportunities, let me know. You know, talk to me. They ain't say nothing to me, and so I said, okay, I left. Ended up working at a gun store. That's how I got over at Hoover Tac. And I was working there for a couple of months. And then I was kind of like coming in as like a guest on Leland's show.
Right.
And so I'm sitting there coming in. It was only on Fridays. So it wasn't even like I was there Monday through Friday or anything like that. Wasn't even doing the typical job that I would normally would do.
You're simply a guest that's just coming on the radio to talk.
Just
kind of
like what I'm doing right now. Right. Just talking. That's it. You know, put my two cents in and then I leave. All for free, ain't getting paid, nothing.
Right.
Right? Then all of a sudden, I'm sitting in my apartment, and I hear, I'm like, who in the heck? Because I lived in this one-bedroom apartment, and I didn't even live on the first floor. I lived on the bottom.
Yeah.
Right? And so you had to, like, search for
you
my apartment.
Underground.
I was underground. Like, it's one of those places, if you was delivering pizza, you're like, wait a minute, is there another?
Yeah.
Where am I supposed to go? And you're like, oh, there's another level.
You
like,
usually didn't get your pizza when you ordered.
Right,
delivery.
Right, right. I had to go stand upstairs and just kind of wait for the pizza guy. I'm like, hey. Yeah. You know, they thought I was somebody trying to rob him. I'm like, no, you ain't going to find my apartment. So I hear this knock on the door, and I see the sheriff's officer at my door. I'm like,
you never want to see that.
Right. I didn't know what the heck was going on. Man, they gave me this packet, and I looked. I was like, what is this?
Like, did you see the C word, and you were like, oh, you got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me.
Now, I saw that, and then it was just like.
Probably felt like a ton of bricks falling on you, because you're like, I did everything right.
Well, honestly, I wasn't as freaked out. Because like I said, I've never been through that whole process going through a lawsuit,
so you didn't really
going
know.
Doing a whole non-compete. I wasn't going to respond.
Yeah,
to be honest with you,
like, fine, it's whatever.
I thought I was like, I'm not in this. I don't know what the heck is going on. Yeah. And then they were like, no, you're gonna have to respond. I'm like, okay. So I had to go try to find. You know, luckily, I got somebody to represent me, and that was the longest. 3, 4, 5, like, it was a long time.
And full disclosure, you came out on the right side of
yes,
this legally.
Yes,
at
yes,
the end
yes.
Of the
I
day.
Won. I won, you know, everything.
So, on the part of the people that came after you and came after everybody else, they ended up just wasting a ton of money.
Basically.
Over nothing.
So, and what I found out, now, this is what a little birdie told me, they were trying to come after me to go after them.
Right, that would make sense.
To and I'm like, well, how are you gonna come after me? I don't know what the heck is going on. I'm, right. I'm just in the dark as everybody else.
What was the reasoning for going after you though? Was it because you made those appearances?
I guess they thought I knew more than you know.
So they didn't really have anything on you.
No, they like just... they said they had all this stuff, and I'm like, oh, you know, had like these different emails. I'm like, well, I don't know what's going on. I'm not in the chain of communication. Like I was oblivious to all of it. But I'd never really tripped about it because I've been in this business for a very long time. So I understood how this works, you know. So You either you just kind of move with the transition, like you just say, all right, you know, it sucks, you know, but you know, I just
I see, it was not hard for me to believe what you guys were telling me, because I was there at that station while y'all were going through that. So allegedly I was on the team of the people that were going after y'all, and we all kind of knew, we didn't know any details, but we knew that was going on, and we're just kind of like, that's, you know, it's weird. But I remember at one time, because I still listen to y'all every day back then, and I said something to, I think, my producer, Jessica. I was like, yeah, you know, Leland was on today, and he says something about the crazy old man down the street or something. Well, apparently somebody else hears that. Next thing you know, their attorneys, the station's attorneys, are reaching out to me. Wonder if you'd give us a deposition, because you said you heard Leland Whaley call Mr. C a crazy old white man. And I'm like, I'm not talking to y'all. I said, I don't know nothing. I don't know what you're talking about. I never heard that.
Man, yeah. If you ever been to a deposition, don't ever go through that.
Oh, dude, that's going
to
be awful.
I was there from like, I had to get to down to their office about 7, 8 o'clock in the morning. And then I did not leave until like 6 that night. And I'm sitting there, and it's just like repeat of different questions. And I'm like,
they're trying to wear you down.
Basically.
It's like a police interrogation almost, yeah. I'm sure.
I'm sitting there, as attorneys, as, you know, and I'm just sitting here just like, just kind of like
break?
That we had a little lunch break.
Okay.
But we couldn't really like leave the area that we were in. So we just went downstairs and we ate. But you couldn't really say nothing.
Yeah, because you don't eat lunch in silence.
Because you don't know who's what.
Who's on your
team.
You
know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's just like, and I'm just sitting like, man, I was like, I never want to go through this again. And then so like even I had to even the church I was going to had to kind of pull back a little bit, because a lot of folks that worked at that station, we all went to the same church.
Oh, yeah, that's
so
right.
So I was an usher. Right, so I'm a usher at one of the campuses, and so I'm in there, and one of the people that was on the stand trying to go against me was in there, and we were ushered on the same time. Now, beforehand, they always ask you, hey, so what do you want us to pray for, all that stuff, and I couldn't even say nothing because, of course, everything is that's going on.
Pray for my dirty-ass coworker who's right. trying to blindside me.
And I was just like... So I had to pull back, and yeah, it was just
that's crazy.
But that wasn't even the worst part. So, all right, so you know, full disclosure, I'm on my second marriage, right?
Right.
So during that time, I went through a divorce, I went through bankruptcy, and I went through a lawsuit.
That's crazy.
All at once.
Man. Oh my God!
All at once.
That's a lot.
Yeah,
that's a lot to deal with.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was bad. It was bad. And but now I'm remarried, got a beautiful 2-year-old soul, got a beautiful wife, got a house in Helena. So like all that has changed.
That's what I would have been eating, those Rice Krispies.
Yeah. That's when you really need them. Yeah.
Well, and that's why everybody was like, well, what do you say too blessed? Why do you say I'm too blessed to be depressed? Well, that's the reason why. I've been through a lot of stuff. That was just
that was a very short time frame.
Right, but you're talking about a lawsuit, you talk about a divorce. And you're talking about bankruptcy.
That's crazy. You know,
I didn't even have $5 in my pocket, right? Like, I couldn't even go buy a $5 Little Caesars pizza.
And the C words want to sue you.
Yes. Yes.
That's wild. I often think about this. I'm like, you know, all the hardships, especially the lows that we've been through, just all of us personally. I'm like, if that wouldn't have happened, you may not have the things that you're so grateful for now.
Right.
Whether it's your wife or your little boy or whatever. And I think the same thing in my situation. I'm like, you know, if you could go back and change it, common sense would say, oh, yeah, I need to change that. I don't want to go through that.
I mean, of course we say that in hindsight, right? We say, man, woulda, coulda, shoulda. But, I mean, I think it made me who I am today
right.
by going through what I went through. Those trials and tribulations made me appreciate the hard work, the sacrifice. That's why people, you know, yeah, they say the moniker, I'm the hardest working man, whatever. But I do that because, I'm passionate about what I do, but also I know where I came from, right? And I definitely won't ever want to go back to that situation or anything that's similar to that. But at the same time, I know those situations have given me the knowledge that I have now so that if I ever get in that situation, I know how to handle that. So now when I'm under pressure, I don't panic.
Right.
I've been through a divorce. I've been through a lawsuit. I've been through, you know, this and that and all these different things. You know, there's a lot of stuff in my past I could tell y'all that I've done. You're going to be like, how are you here?
Right.
But, you know, that's life.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this heartwarming moment is brought to you tonight by Big Black Dick. Big Black Dick Premium Caribbean Rum. Extra dark.
Oh, we got a lady in here.
I just needed a promotion deal for that. Those are you've got a pretty fascinating story, which we've been through.
We never actually talked about my story.
you've got more to your story, but this was actually more detailed than what we did last time. which is good. And I think people are going to be able to know a little bit more about you. And probably know a little bit more about us, maybe too much. But we will have to do this again very soon. I appreciate you and you bringing your big black dick with you. It is
premium big black dick.
Premium big black dick. It has been a fantastic time.
Yes.
And I hope we can do it again in the future. You, just like everybody else, y'all got an open door invitation. So all you got, I know your schedule is a little more wonky, but
you sure about that, Tony? You sure? Like, could I just have an open invitation? Just come up anytime.
You're welcome anytime.
You sure about that? Because it'd be 2:00 in the morning. Like,
yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
I got a story to tell.
I mean, you may want to call us first, but yeah, it's whatever. So anyway, Tony Gupp, thank you as always, my friend.
Yes. Yeah, and teach your kids something. That's my message today.
Tony is a teacher. By the way,
never mind. I was
quit
say
buying
something.
Him so much crap and teach him something.
That's right. He needs to cut it out and teach him something.
Well, I was going to tie it in with this, but I don't think I'm going to teach him about.
Yeah. Don't teach him that.
Yeah, give him till like my kid's 14. Like I would feel comfortable showing my kid big black dick, just because he's a teenager and he gets it. Okay,
so just don't show your son. Never mind.
Yeah. Nobody cut that out of the podcast and post it, please. All right, we got to get out of here. Thank you guys so much, Tony, AJ, and until next time, see you guys.